Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, back with this Faith and Freedom show. I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Sometimes it's a stretch. Sometimes it is a stretch, it is, but we are going to get to it eventually. There are some connecting the dots that are necessary in life. In fact, if you are going to be a successful business person, you're going to do study in demographics. You're going to be watching. Essentially, a lot of analysis is necessary to be successful. That's something, it's watching the signs of the times, connecting the dots, reading the tea leaves, or whatever it is. It's not the supernatural aspect. Sometimes it's just pragmatic, practical. Pay attention to what's going on around you. If you're going to survive in East LA, I highly encourage you to pay attention to what's going on. I got a few stories about that. That's where I grew up. As I said before the break, Bank of America / Merrill Lynch analysts said today in a report that gold may surge to $1,500 an ounce over the next 18 months. Well, it could be because the United States dollar's value has predictably got to turn into nothing. It's got to be worth less than it was a year and a half ago. Ultimately, we know it is worth less. And of course, since it is worth less, it will be always worth less. Russia's central bank increased its gold holding to 19.5 million ounces last month from 19 million ounces in September. So it increased to 0.5 million ounces. Essentially what it is. Governments, biggest holders of gold, have been expanding their bullion reserves. I wonder if the United States Treasury has any bullion reserves. I just got responded to by an organization. They go by the acronym GATA. GATA. And I didn't realize that my lawyer was their lawyer. But it's this organization that has put in a Freedom of Information Act request to the Federal Reserve, or actually the United States Treasury, to say, what are the reserves? What are the gold reserves? Where's the money? Follow the money. Gold Antitrust Action Committee. I sent them an email, and they just responded to me, I believe this morning or yesterday, that they've agreed to do an interview with us and tell us about what's going on. They've filed a lawsuit, basically, with response to the government ignoring their Freedom of Information Act request to have the government tell them, where's the money? What kind of money do you have? Are there any reserves at all? Where is the public property? And the government, of course, has not responded. Let's see what this article says. This is by Bloomberg, came out yesterday. Governments, biggest holders of gold, have been expanding their bullion reserves, helping to spur an 8.3% rally in the metals price from October 20th to November 20th. Now, I will tell you, that is the public market. That's governments buying more gold. And that has nothing to do with this under-the-table sale of gold by the IMF to selected agencies. I'll give you this example. It goes on in this article to say, India's central bank bought 200 metric tons. This has just happened because it says from International Monetary Fund in October. Well, what's interesting about that, I think they made some agreement to buy it because, as I saw a couple of days ago, the only ones that were actually getting the gold transfer as of about a week and a half ago was Mauritius. So I think what's happened is they're in steps happening to get some gold. It says India's central bank bought 200 metric tons from the International Monetary Fund in October. Mauritius and Sri Lanka also have been buying gold. As I said, Mauritius just bought 2 million tons. 2 metric tons. That's what it is. 2 metric tons out of the 403 metric tons that are being transferred. The IMS has still 200 tons left to sell. Any giving emerging market central bank, listen, cannot hedge against further U.S. dollar weakness by buying what? Look what they shouldn't be buying right now. Euros or sterling? Bank of America Merrill Lynch said, citing the likelihood of rate moves by the European Central Bank and the Bank of England. This is because there is a significant probability that the European Central Bank and the Bank of England will have to follow any monetary policy moves by the Fed. What's really weird about this, I always looked at the Fed and the Bank of England and the European Central Bank as being the guys who are yanking the chains. By listening to what was just said right here, as they're responding to the Fed, and they're basically jostling among themselves what needs to be done, even for their own survival, it gives a hint to me that the Fed, the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, are really subject to some other power. Currently, the Congress is subject to the Federal Reserve Bank. It's its own little entity. We read something yesterday where a commentator, one of these banking elites, was saying that it was a part of the separation of powers. It was its own power, that the Federal Reserve Bank was its own power. They mentioned the judiciary, the legislative branch, the executive branch, and they mentioned the Federal Reserve branch as another power. By the way, that has that power. It's not in Article 4 of the Constitution. Article 1, legislative; 2, executive; 3, judicial. If you go to number 4, it doesn't say bank. So it's a lawless entity that is really affecting what Congress is doing. It's affecting what the Treasury Department comes and says to Congress. The sky is falling. We need a bailout. Ah, we need you to go in debt. We need you to say that all taxpayers in America will be slaves to the Federal Reserve Bank and their other global interests. So who's running the Federal Reserve? Who's running the Central Bank of Europe? Who's running the Bank of England? Why are they making adjustments, one's following the other? They must be subject to somebody else. It just occurred to me as I'm reading this. I don't know all the data, but I'm trying to connect the dots. Somebody else is in control of the United States government. Somebody else is in control of the Federal Reserve Bank. So that's why I said Friday, your best hope with regard to government is your state legislature, is the sovereign government of Florida. And they have to stand and exercise their obligations to secure your rights and protect your property in Florida from intrusion by the United States for whatever moral imperative. Isn't that something? Do I care? I mean, personally, I have no vested interest at stake property-wise or pursuit of happiness-wise in Florida, except that we vacation in Destin often because it's beautiful, it's fun. Camping on the Gulf, free advertisement. Great stuff. Fun place. Karaoke on Thursday nights. Wonderful. Except when they have little 12-year-old girls singing trash that nobody should be listening to. I can't believe their parents let them sing that trash. Okay. Dennis Gartman, an economist and editor of Gartman Letter in Suffolk, Virginia, and I'm going to call Mr. Gartman. I may know one of his relatives. Told investors to buy gold denominated in other currencies. Owning gold across currency spectrum has effectively hedged the dollar exposure, Gartman said. We're going to see if we can get Mr. Gartman to explain this to us. He said, SPDR Gold Trust, biggest exchange-traded fund backed by bullion, were unchanged for a second day at $1,117 tons as of November 20, according to their website. And they've increased, their funds reached a record 1,134 tons on June 1st. But let me go on to something I highlighted to get to some point. The UK's Royal Mint said last week that it quadrupled output of gold coins in the third quarter. The U.S. Mint itself jumped 88% in its gold output. People are buying gold. People want gold. It's a good opportunity, I guess, for the government to make some money by selling gold. Silver futures for December delivery climbed 17 cents or 0.9% to $18.61 an ounce after touching a 16-month high earlier this week. The metal is up 65% in 2009. So what's the point of this? Well, it's very clear if you're paying attention. One thing that I noticed back in 2005 with regard to FEMA, when we had the Federal Emergency Management, whatever they are, FEMA bailing out people who never had flood insurance. The federal government gave money, small business loans to people who weren't small businesses, loaning them money, putting them in debt so that they could fix their house that had no flood insurance. So they were extending a loan to people that had no really eligibility for those loans. They weren't a small business. But it didn't matter what the law is, what the purpose of that program was. Essentially, if you were in the welfare state of the federal government, you had access to the government borrowing money on your behalf. That was a little bit weird. I thought it was lawless, and I was pretty appalled that people took advantage of that, especially when we were out there actually saving people without any government loans. We were bringing tens of thousands of dollars of material to the houses with teams of people to strip out the old junk and put in new walls. No federal loans, with no money. Come and buy without money. That's God's plan. The biblical plan is that Christian extremists would just go out and give, understanding ultimately it'd be given back to you, but just giving for giving's sake. There were tens of thousands of people on the Gulf Coast who were saved by millions of people coming and loving them with tangible gifts. And some people got in this weird thing where they partnered with the federal government. And the federal government was committing all this debt without any having any promise to pay. I could see in 2005 we were going to have a surge in the gold prices and a plummeting of the dollar. It had to happen. When we saw all the debt happening because of the housing market. Oh, we're going to make your $150,000 house in value sell for $300,000. Somebody's going to borrow $300,000. Of course, they're only really going to have income that would be able to afford the market rate, market true value house of $150,000. But they're going to be in debt for $300,000 in spite of the fact that that house shouldn't cost that much. It was a no-brainer to me that we were going to have some inflation, that the value of the dollar would plummet. Just connect the dots. So, folks, I hate to bring some bad news. I'm going to read something. When we come back, I'm going to wax religious. And if you've got enough courage, you can listen to me. Most people can't tolerate. They're not mature enough to deal with opposing views, whether they're religious or political or anything else. They pretty much, most people aren't necessarily equipped to deal with ideas or thoughts that are contrary to what their status quo method of thinking is. So it's very difficult for them in a mature conversation to wax religious or entertain such things. But I'm going to wax religious when I get back. I'm going to read something that I read this morning. I'm just going to let it float out there. You can do with it what you want. But that's just something to think about. Okay, so what's going on right now, folks, is banks that are independent, countries that have a tendency to be independent, like India, and places that have a tendency to be running the world, like China, are stocking up on gold. So if you read the tea leaves or pay attention to what's going on, I don't know what it's going to cause you to do, but it would cause me to stop and think about, you know, if you're going to make investments or things like that, pay off your debt, whatever it is you're going to do that's going to increase your freedom. It may take a little courage, a little bravery. We're going to come back. Yes, I'm going to wax religious. I dare you to listen in. Our number here is 888-850-1872. David Allen Carmichael. That's where I call my Faith and Freedom Show. Our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith. We shall return.